what he wants us to do. He wants us to edify, to build up the body of Christ. And by the way, every member is a part of it. When one member hurts, by the way, what do? We hurt with him. As rich as we have a member of the church dies, what does our church do? He brought Danny and I. People will fix a meal for the band over here. We will get them to the funeral. Those who are able to attend, and we support the family through that time of loss. It's a tremendous time in our life, time of loss. And then when my family rejoices when God does something great for family, we rejoice with them. But every single member of your family work. In fact, you try it out one time. Say, for instance, your left leg said, tomorrow morning, I'm not going. I'm just going to stay right here in bed. I hope y'all go without me. Now, what would happen if your left leg went on strike? You'd have a little trouble, wouldn't you? You'd have a little trouble. And sometimes, by the way, you know what? We don't have all the body here. We need all the body. By the way, God bless you in this church for a reason. You're a part of this church. You have gifts that God's given you. And you're going to use that gift in this church to bring glory and honor to God. By the way, the church will be asked for step. Why does the church exist? We're to be fit together as a building. We're to be functioning as a body. We're to be thankful as a bride. You know, one day we're going to be presenting to Christ. We're the bride. And we're going to be without spot and without blemish. You say, whoa, whoa, how's that going to happen, don't you? Well, praise God, one day we stand before Jesus. We're not going to stand before him in our righteousness. We're going to stand before him in the righteousness of Jesus. We're going to be standing before him because he died for us and he forgave us of our sin. And we've been made, declared righteous. We've been declared, we're justified by the blood of the Lamb. And we're continually sanctified. That's the process we're going through right now. And praise God, one day we'll be glorified. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is, church. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that. Being like him and seeing him. But why do we worship? Why do we preach the word? Why do we have one great occupy this property here? And I tell you, the purpose is to glorify God. That should be the bottom line. We're to glorify him. The Bible says this, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Everything we do is to glorify God. By the way, every ministry of this church are we pointing people to Jesus. Amen? That's the purpose we have. Why do we have a lot more children to be Jesus? Why do we have adult Bible study on Sunday morning? To point people to Jesus. By the way, you should never get to the point where you say, well, I don't need Bible study on Sunday morning. I already know all the Bible I need to know. Let me tell you what. You don't know. You can learn from somebody. Amen? I'm learning every week. We'll be learning. We never ought to get to the point where we say, no, I'm not learning. We glorify God. Did you not know? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own, but you belong to Christ. Therefore, glorify your God in your body, which is his. We're to bring glory to him in all we do, church. And if we're the church, if we're fit together as a building, if we're functioning as a body, if we're faithful as a bride, one day, praise God, we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Throughout the scriptures, we're reminded of people who stood for Christ, who didn't want to give up. I want to look at one church with you as opposed to today. We haven't got the scriptures. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. The church of Thessalonica was a church that was on fire for God. You can see in this church the marks of a burning church. Now, I wish that time to develop it, but I want you to know that it was on Paul's second missionary journey. Then he goes to Thessalonica. He had already been received the Macedonian call and gone from Philippi. And God did great things and went to jail and all this family got saved. And then he made a journey 100 miles along the nation way to Thessalonica. there in the book of Acts, of course, he was there for the three Sabbaths. He was there, and every time Jesus went, what did he do? He shared the word of God. He opened the word of God. He shared the word of God. But we find that he sends a message to the church at Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them in the Lord. But this church, they were on fire for God, and they were a church, listen to me, church, they were a church that believed in the coming of Jesus Christ. Remember last Sunday, we had a voice call, he's coming to preach. What did he preach on? He preached on the rapture of the church. As he preached on the rapture of the church, the church in Thessalonica, every single chapter mentions the coming of Jesus. This church was on the cutting edge. They were right on the cutting edge of saying, hey, listen, we believe that the Lord's coming soon. And what are we to do? Understanding that he's coming soon. And he talks about how this church was established, how God did mighty things. But I want you to see this. If you would, let me together today, I want us to look together in verse 5 and above. Look at what it says. This is what I can go straight on back there. Again. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In what? The sight of God and our Father. Now, I think some of that church. Everything we're doing here, we're doing it in the sight of God. God's watching. He knows. In fact, if you go there to the book of Revelation, it says he's walking among his churches. He's walking among the churches. He knows every member of the church. He knows every desire we have. He knows what is in our heart. He knows what is about our life. He knows everything about us. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not of you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of being we were among you for your sake. Now, I want you to see something, guys. Just three things, real quick. And I'm going to be close with that. This is good. Excuse me. I want you to see what this church is. First of all, he talks about the faith that worked. A faith that worked. Look what he says here. I remember in my season, verse 3, your work of faith. Your work of faith. Now, by the way, this word here is word ergon in the Greek language. It means a something that is a heavy labor, something that they had were busy about. They were continuing to serve God come on faith. But they had a faith to work. By the way, you know, most likely the Bible says that we're not saved by our works of
them. Right.
By just Ephesians 3:9, or by grace you say through faith, and that by yourselves. It is the work of God, lest any man should know. God works, lest any man should know. And then it says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. And why are we his workmanship? Created unto God that we may do good works. We're not saved because of our works, but let me tell you what. As soon as you're saved, you're going to want to serve the Lord in the church. You're going to want to be active. A faith that worked. It was a faith that was real. It was a true saving belief in Jesus Christ. And it resulted in a mighty work that God was doing in and through this church. You know what? Our church is an example. And other people in our community are watching this. You know what I desire? If they would not magnify us, they would magnify Jesus. I told you all that in the first half in here, Frank Curry. that goes in here. But I want to tell you something. What this building needs is, it needs us. But I want to tell you what we need more than that. We need the Holy Spirit. Unless He is here, there's no purpose for us to be.
Right.
Unless His power is working, there'll be no one saved. Unless He is growing people by His power of the Spirit, that's how He works. But we have to have a faith that works. Is our faith genuine? And by the way, if your faith is a genuine faith, according to James, it'll be a faith that works and it will continue doing the work of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing the work of God? What are you doing contributing to the Rainbury Baptist Church? And what are you doing contributing to the world, doing to our community? We have to have a faith that works. Not only have to have a faith that works, but just that lay a love that labor. Do what it says. And remember your work of faith and your labor of love. That word labor is an interesting word in Greek language. It means the labor to the point of weariness. I mean, were you just labor? Were you just getting weary? Don't you know if you're not in the work of God? It's going to call for us to just labor that we just get worn out, folks. Sometimes we get to that point, amen?
Yes.
We were involved in giving over 460 children's school supplies. We had 190 volunteers over there, and we worked, and we were tired at the end of the day, but then we say, what? God got the glory. There were children and parents, there were people that met the Lord that day. But we have to have a lay love that labor. Our love for Jesus motivates us to work. I want you to hear that again. Our love for Jesus motivates us to work. The question is not are you working, the question is do you love Jesus? By the way, that elevates us to your faith. Amen? Our love for Jesus motivates us to come to His church. This is His church. Remember? We come because we love Him. By the way, He loved the church. What did He do? He died for the church. He gave His life for the church. And what is He asking us to do? He's asking us to give our life for the church. Give our best for the church. Our love for Jesus motivates us. It motivates us to serve. See, you can labor and not love, but you can't love and not labor. That's it. But let me tell you what, when you love Jesus, you're going to say, what can I do? I want to be involved. I want to do something in the church. I want to make a difference in the church. This church is a great church. It had a faith that worked, a love that labored, but a past day of a hope that endured. Look at it here. Remember about ceasing your work of faith, your labor above, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. You see that? A hope that endured. They have a steadfast hope. What is our hope in, by the way? Our hope is in Jesus. That we're hoping by is not our English word for hope. We hope that maybe this week we might get to go here, or we might get to do this, or we might get to eat this place. No, the word for hope in the Bible is a confident expectation. This church had a hope that endured. They were confidently expecting the return of Jesus Christ. And that's what helped them have a faith that worked. That's what helped them have a love that labored. And that's what helped them have a hope that endured. They were motivated by the return of Christ. So and so. See, church, here's what I've discovered. You get out of church, what you do. You ever notice that? If you come on something expecting God to speak to you, He'll speak to you. What's the amazing thing about the Word of God? When God says to someone over here, this is something. Don't be here for someone over here. That's the Word of God. See, it isn't my word, it's God's word. But I pray today that He challenges us as a church. these coming months ahead, that we would not give up, that we would not lose heart, that we would not think, that we would continue in the work God's given us. We can't rest on our laurels, church. We got to go forward and think. We got to see the kingdom move ahead. We're taking on another school this year. Good news, Bob. We're going to be doing more things than them. Last Wednesday night, we had more children sign up for a water cup. 62 children than we ever signed up that first time. See what's happening? God's work. And what we got to do is get involved in what God's doing. And when we do that, we'll be blessed with our nation. For some of you today, you might have a testimony like Harry. You thought you knew Jesus. Maybe you made a decision in your life, but you know there's something missing in your heart. See, there's a void in your life that only Jesus can fill. And I'm going to invite you to do something when that curse down. I'm going to invite you to come forward and pass it on hand and say to that pastor, "Pastor, I need Jesus." And they're going to sit down with you right here, or have one of our members sit down, and they're going to talk with you about how you can meet Jesus. Others here today, God's calling you to this church to be a part of this fellowship. We're not a perfect church. I can tell you that up front. There's no perfect churches. And we're made of human beings. But I want you to know something. God is here. He's working. If you want to be a part of church that's lifting up the name of Jesus, that's lifting up the word of God, I invite you to come to be a part of that fellowship. God's calling you to answer that call. Whatever God's calling you, then there might be a member here. Maybe you've kind of been sitting on the sidelines. You've been just observing. Maybe you've just been kind of half in and half out. I would encourage you this morning to jump all over me. I would encourage you to give your very best, Lord. I would encourage you to make the church a priority in your life. That you might attend, you might serve, you might give, you might go, that God would be back. Father, I thank you for your word today. It is my return void to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. And I pray today for the one that's here without